Part 1. Forte's Children. A Handful of Leaves. In the year 1919, Edgar's grandfather, who was born with an extra share of whimsy, bought their land and all the buildings on it from a man he'd never met, a man named Schultz, who in his turn had walked away from a logging team half a decade earlier after seeing the chains on a fully loaded timber sled let go. 20 tons of rolling maple buried a man where Schultz had stood the moment before. As he helped unpile logs to extract the wretched man's remains, Schultz remembered a pretty parcel of land he'd spied north and west of Mellon. The morning he signed the papers, he rode one of his ponies along the logging road to his new property and picked out a spot in a clearing below a hill, and by nightfall a workable pole stable stood on that ground. The next day he fetched the other pony and filled a yoked cart with supplies, and the three of them walked back to his crude homestead. Schultz on foot, reins in hand, and the ponies in harness behind as they drew the cart along and listened to the creak of the dry axle. For the first few months, he and the ponies slept side by side in the pole shed, and quite often in his dreams, Schultz heard the snap when the chains on that load of maple broke. He tried his best to make a living there as a dairy farmer. In the 5 years he worked the land, he cleared one 25-acre field and drained another. And he used the lumber from the trees he cut to build an outhouse, a barn, and a house in that order. So that he wouldn't need to go outside to tote water, he dug his well in the hole that would become the basement of the house. He helped raise barns all the way from Tannerytown to Park Falls, so there'd be plenty of help when his time came. And day and night he pulled stumps. That first year, he raked and harrowed the south field a dozen times, until even his ponies seemed tired of it. He stacked rocks at the edges of the fields in long, humped piles, and burned stumps in bonfires that could be seen all the way from Popcorn Corners, the closest town, if you called that a town, and even Mellon. He managed to build a small stone and concrete silo, taller than the barn, but he never got around to capping it. He mixed milk and linseed oil and rust and blood, and used the concoction to paint the barn and outhouse red. In the south field he planted hay, and in the west corn, because the west field was wet and the corn would grow faster there. During his last summer on the farm, he even hired 2 men from town. But when autumn was on the horizon, something happened. No one knew just what. And he took a meager early harvest, auctioned off his livestock and farm implements, and moved away, all in the space of a few weeks. At the time, John Sawtelle was traveling up north with no thought or intention of buying a farm. In fact, he'd put his fishing tackle into the Kissel and told Mary, his wife, he was delivering a puppy to a man he'd met on his last trip. Which was true as far as it went. What he didn't mention was that he carried a spare collar in his pocket. That spring, their dog, Violet, who was good but wild-hearted, had dug a hole under the fence when she was in heat and run the streets with romance on her mind. They'd ended up chasing a litter of 7 around the backyard. He could have given all the pups away to strangers, and he suspected he was going to have to. But the thing was, he liked having those pups around. Liked it in a primal, obsessive way. Violet was the first dog he'd ever owned, and the pups were the first pups he'd ever spent time with. And they yapped and chewed on his shoelaces and looked him in the eye. At night, he found himself listening to records and sitting on the grass behind the house and teaching the pups odd little tricks they soon forgot while he and Mary talked. They were newlyweds, or almost. They sat there for hours and hours, and it was the finest time so far in his life. On those nights, he felt connected to something ancient and important that he couldn't name.